Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned into Lunch and Learn, brought to you by Sassy Biz Radio.
Well, 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 hello, hello, hello. It's your host, Dakeisha Williams of Business Consultant, with a special episode today of Lunch and Learn. I have one of a good friend of mine, Carlene Sinclair Robinson, author of Thank the Bank, and I am bringing her on today's show to share with you some mind-blowing information. So I need you to get ready. I need you to pull out your pen, your pad, and get ready. For those of you who have never tuned in to Sassy Biz Radio, this is Dakeisha Williams of Visions Consulting, and I started on this journey some time ago. Have you ever heard anyone that has lost the same job twice? Yes, that was me. I lost the same job twice, and I actually received my notification that we were no longer employed email, and it was January the 10th, 2010. I remember it like it was yesterday. And we received an email that said the company has ceased operations and we no longer need your services. So I found myself on unemployment for about 4 months because the company had filed bankruptcy. And I had just started a company called Sassy Shoe Gallery. How ironic that you're on Sassy Biz Radio. And it was an online shoe company really to help with improving self-esteem for women that are walking and living on purpose. So I actually received a call to come back to work 4 months later, and I worked about a year and a half, and I just got tired, y'all. I was just tired. And so August the 24th, 2011, do you know I went out on leave of absence, and I'm still on leave of absence, and I'll tell you why. April 12th, 2012, the company again shut down, ceased operations, and filed bankruptcy again. This is a new company that bought them out of the previous bankruptcy. And so I share that today. You have to have a plan B, C, D, E, F, all the way to Z, because you just never know when it's going to be your time for you to take off and fly away. So, again, you know, that's just my story. And I always share when I started the company Sassy Shoe Biz, Sassy Shoe Business, I actually wrote a business plan. I submitted an application, not once, not twice, but three times, and I submitted it to the traditional lenders. And, you know, I walked into SunTrust, and they looked at me like I was crazy, but it's okay. They said no, I said next. And lo and behold, I came across alternative funding opportunities. And I was actually awarded $31,500 to start my business. So I want to take this time and give back to other entrepreneurs who are looking to expand their brand and really looking to increase their operation and do so by funding. So, again, our special guest for today is Carlene Sinclair Robinson. I believe she is currently on the line. I've unmuted. Carlene, are you there? Mic check, mic check.
I am here.
There she is. How are you doing today?
I am good. I am good, and especially I just voted, so I'm good.
All right, all right. I'm getting ready to boogie out here as soon as the show is over.
yes, I was like, let me get it done before, so I did that.
Nice, nice. Well, listen, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Wow. First, thank you for having me. I always appreciate, you know, women like yourself, and try to aspire to be like you, being the success that you are also, and I do appreciate being in your circle of friends. So let me just put that out there for our, you know, listeners. I really appreciate that.
Aren't
you just a sweetheart? Well, you know what? We have to be real, and the relationships that we build should motivate us, should help us, should impact our lives in better, in ways that makes our lives better. So if that's not happening, then it shouldn't be a relationship we should be in. So
I know
with
that's
that
right.
said, oh, well, you know what, girl? It's what it is these days. I'm at a point in life where I don't have time for nonsense. I don't have time anymore to play the games with people and you know, not get where you're supposed to go. So, you know, if I can help someone make it happen, that's what I'm here for. And if you're going to waste our time, then no.
Now, you and I can get on the telephone and go for hours.
Yes, we can.
But, yeah, so we actually met last year at a conference in Northern Virginia area. And Carlene actually lives in the Northern Virginia area. And, you know, sometimes you just meet people that you just bond with. You just click with, you mesh with, you feel the synergy there. And so that's kind of how it happened with Carlene and I. And so it was by fate, literally, that she was in the lending industry. And when I say she's in the lending industry, listen, she signed her name so you all can get funding. Like, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm telling you here, okay? Like, she signs her name, signs deals, and delivers it, okay? So how did you get started?
The journey to today really started with needing flexibility. I have two children, and like I have always said to folks, I didn't have them to be raised by anybody else. So I decided that I needed to transition, and in the process, I had been in business part-time doing my thing. Had been in the healthcare industry for a number of years in staffing and a number of other things, other types of businesses that I'd been involved with. And it got to the stage where after having my son, the realization hit me that I could not do both the business, operate as an employee also, a full-time employee and doing a business, and raising a family. We might be super women, but there's just some things we can't do. We need to make changes. So with that said, I realized in working with my clients back then that there was a major missing link. And in that, for that major missing link was they didn't know where to go to get money. They had no clue how to access anything outside of the bank on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I started doing my research, did my training, and got access because I had sources. I got access to, oh, my gosh, so many types of opportunities to fund almost any type of business. And I always say in my classes that, you know, if I was to open up and share some of the stuff that I know, it would really blow your mind. But it is always a case of looking at the client, those who are showing up and showing, you know, stating what they need, how can we help them get to that next level? So I had to pivot. I had to figure based on need. When you assess what's showing up on your desk as a massive need, and you know and have access to the resources to help them change their lives, it is key that we bring that to the market. So I basically honed, you know, really dug deep and decided that alternative financing was sexy and that I was going to put a name to it.
Okay.
And my lenders were like, go for it. So when I wrote the first book, that really was basically a convergence of clients and prospective clients coming and saying, where can we learn more about this? There's nothing out there. They've done their research. How did I find them, by the way? Those are really cool questions that they asked. And through it all, I realized that they had no clue. Not that they didn't know their stuff. They knew, you know, what they knew for their business. But when it came to the financial side,
right,
it was, you know, it was traumatic. So, you know, you go to the bank and you know you have a good, decent business, even, you know, business owners doing millions, but because they were operating with a, whether a slight loss or something, it boiled down to they couldn't get access to the money they needed. And so with that, I worked with my sources in the alternative market to really hone what I knew and took it to the next level. And then someone decided that, you know what, Carlene did so well, let's notch up a little more. So we took 20-plus months, nearly 2 years, and worked through a process and had me write Spank the Bank. And that was a journey in its own, in its, you know, entirety. It's a journey. It's really a journey.
So Spank the Bank, that was, tell us just a little, a brief overview of what the book is included in. Now, I've already requested my copy, so if you don't have a copy, I highly suggest that you go and get a copy of her book, Spank the Bank. So what did you share, just a small snippet of what you shared in your book?
So in the book is really categorized in two ways. One is setting that business owner up to be ready and able to access funding. The things they should know, shouldn't do, those types of things. And then the other part of the book is structured around, here are the types of potential opportunities to fund a business, and here's what they actually look for, what you can do, and how you can ramp up getting access to the capital that they needed. It provides tools. So, you know, one reader came back to me and said, this is not a book you read from cover to cover. This is a book when you have a problem for your business, you need to have it on your bookshelf, that you pick it up and pick the chapter that addresses that problem.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Like your own personal encyclopedia for business funding and business operation.
Right.
So, and one of the things that you mentioned is, if business owners want to get ready for funding, what's the number one thing that you would suggest for individuals that are getting ready to take that step, or maybe even just considering taking a step for obtaining financing?
The biggest thing is that they need to be prepared. They need to know where they are. And knowing where they are better prepared for going out there to use other people's money to get access to it. That's one of the biggest issues I find as a micro lender and alternative source, that they aren't prepared. They don't know what they have. You know, take for instance a business owner in business 30 plus years, and on day 62 of this year, conversation I had with a business owner seeking access to capital, and they did not know what their revenue was for 2014. So those are,
wow.
Right. It's shocking. And the things that you and I might think are simple things that we should know, you know, like on a monthly basis, annual basis kind of thing, are things that a lot of these business owners don't know.
So let me make sure that I have this right, because I can't wrap my head around it. You're saying that there are business owners who are coming to you that don't know, not only do they not know what they generated in the current year, but they don't know what they generated in the previous year? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. I know that sounds like a shocker, here's what I think it boils down to. We have a problem with money. And it's not that they can't get access to capital, or even if they can't get access to capital, that's not the problem. The problem is they won't face their financial phobias. They won't face the fact that they have some issue around money and how they manage money, that kind of stuff. And this is deep, on a deeper level. This is like a wound that had, you know, festered over the years, and it's still sitting underneath the surface. They won't address their financial problems that stem from probably when they were raised, you know, when they were young, and the habits that they currently have that they dragged along with them all these years. I find, you know, in that they tend not to want to face that part of it. You know, I've gone to events where you go through a training, and the way the training is structured, it's around, okay, all these different areas of business, but the last thing they want to talk about would be the financials. And once they hit that, it's like you took the life out of the room. And,
well, you know, a lot of people cringe when you start to talk about financials, and you start
right.
to pull out cash flow statements and profit and loss statements. But how do you know where to make the adjustment in your business if you don't know what your numbers are?
Right. Great point. The key is that if we can pay attention to what's coming in, who owes us, because that's another thing where, I mean, I've seen books already where people have hundreds of thousands of dollars outstanding to them. And especially in the small business market where they haven't written it off their books, it's still hanging, it's still dragging them down, they don't have processes in place to deal with their accounts receivables. We see where they don't know what's going out. And unfortunately, until you have a balancing act going on here, they're not going to be able to make it happen because they won't know if they're operating at a profit or a loss, or, you know, leading up to a loss. And a lot of times that's the problem. They're operating at a loss, or when they think they have money, they really don't. Right, it's important. You know, we can talk about, okay, we're going to win this contract, or we're going to bring on this potential client, and that's going to boost things. And so in the meantime, you spend like, you know, there's no tomorrow. However, we have to manage our money. It's about managing. Just think of a car. If you don't take care of the vehicle, right? What's going to happen to that vehicle? If you don't do your oil change, your tune-ups and stuff like that, what's going to happen? Well, here's the thing. The financials is the heart of the business. And so if we don't keep that healthy, we're going to be like these people who suffer from, you know, heart disease and have heart attacks. Our business is going to go out of business. And so
your business is going to have a heart attack.
It's going to be dead on arrival when it gets to my ER, you know, because I'm not going to be able to do anything to help you. And then we don't face the fact that we're on that downward spiral, out of control, and how do we stem that hemorrhage? How do we stem that financial problem? And a lot of times, you know, business owners are set what they're doing, how they're doing things. And so,
you know
what?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Another question. Well, and here's the key question that I want to bring to you. Being in the lending space, you hear a lot of entrepreneurs who shun on having a business plan, who shun on having strategies because Steve Jobs didn't have a business plan, and other successful Mark Zuckerberg didn't have a business plan. You know, what are your thoughts on that, or what would your response to someone who comes to you and says, you know, well, Steve Jobs did it, and he didn't have a business plan, or, you know, he was able to get parts to build 100 computers when he started to turn around and resell them. What's your response to that?
My response is this. Do you have the drive like them? Do you have the tenacity like them? A lot of times we find that business owners jump from one thing to the next because they don't see progress in what they're doing. And if they would only change or shift one thing in their business, it would make a difference. And here's one thing. Let's say they really don't want to get to the point of writing a business plan. How about writing down some goals, some long-term goals and some short-term goals that are achievable, that are, you know, let's not get into the, you know, the SMART goals process, but goals that you can bite-size pieces and put, you know, enact them and use them to grow your business. So unless you have the drive and tenacity like Steve Jobs and Mark Zuckerberg, then, you know, it's not going to happen. And sometimes you might hear that they didn't have the conventional type business plan. Well, I promise you, they had something.
Thank you.
But
they
I was
had
waiting for
something.
You to say it. I was waiting for you to say it because, and that's the key piece that I want people that are tuning in, that are listening, that's the piece that I want them to get. I can guarantee you the days of Mark Zuckerberg being in the college dorm room, in order for them to have so many people on the team seeing it come to fruition, there had to be some type of strategy.
Documentation.
In place. Mm-hmm. There had to have been some type of strategy in place in order for each person in the room to understand their roles and responsibilities and how they played a role in the bigger picture. You can't do that when you don't have any type of thought-out process or plan.
Correct. Absolutely. Totally in agreement.
So that,
and
there's,
you know,
their response straight from the lender to those who say, I don't need a plan because Steve Jobs didn't have a plan. There's their response. We can guarantee you that there was some type of strategic method in place in order to achieve the goals that they have set for themselves and to be able to get to where they are now. So,
right. And you know what, too, in having to do the business plan, they have to deal with the financials, and that's what they're running from.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Just as a, you know, note to this, how important this is. In 2006, I met a woman, and she had been in business 6 years already. And she said to me, I don't need to do a business plan for my business. I'm doing fine, yada, yada. Okay. Fast forward to 2012. We met at the same event. And she walked up to me and gave me a hug and looked me in my face and said, Carlene, I now get it. I now understand why you had always been stressing about doing a business plan. She started, and guess what happened? She now realized that she could have been more successful if she had put it on paper and pay attention to the different segments, the different areas of her business that needed shoring up. Because we are so tunnel vision, we do what we need to do to operate the business, but then those other things that we need to also put some time and effort into, we aren't doing.
No, that's huge. And, you know, a lot of times what I find is in the beginning, people can, you know, write on a whiteboard, write on a napkin, write on a plan, write goals, as long as you are writing something down. But what I find is that when they get to that moment where they've reached capacity and it's time to expand, is when they are faced, where they have no other choice to start writing the SOPs and writing the business plans because you're bringing on team members. And how can you duplicate yourself if you don't have documentation?
Right.
You can't. So before we close out our 30-minute segment, I would love for you to share one piece of advice for aspiring entrepreneurs or seasoned entrepreneurs that have been in the in the arena of looking for funding? I know that you said that they have to be prepared, but what would be one piece of advice that you would share with them?
Know their numbers. I can't stress it enough that in being prepared, it helps them to be able to present whatever it is that they're asking for. They're going to be able to present to any source why they need that funding, why they're going to give us that validation to say, here are my numbers, here's where I am, here's why I need it, and here's where it's going to put me, and here's my exit strategy for both paying back the loan and for the business. So, again, I can't stress being prepared enough.
Awesome. And what about new business owners who don't have any income currently coming in? What are your suggestions for them?
Well, in terms of growing their business, they're going to have to do the bootstrapping process to help themselves get that first client. Need to go through that process to say, all right, I might not have a client yet, but here's how I'm going to market. Here's how I'm going to network. Here's what I'm going to do to bring on my first few clients that could put some dollars in the bank account. And let me just make this very clear. You could have started, set up the company 5 years ago and just decided that now today I'm going to really ramp it up. Between that timeline, if you had not put any money in the bank and operated at all, you're not in business. You weren't in business. So it is important that we understand it's when dollars start going into the bank account that we're counting from. And then we do want to understand the history of why you had not been in operation.
So, wow, that's huge. That's huge. Yeah. And I think a lot of people need to understand that you're not in business if you're not generating revenue and putting it in a bank account.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a paper trail, you're not really in business on paper. Wow.
Right, and especially for those cash businesses, oh, my goodness, don't get in trouble with the IRS. You need to put the money in the bank. I can't fund you. You know, I've seen, like, caterers, those small startups that want to do expand their catering services, and they don't put the cash in the bank, and so we can't help them even for a microloan because they've not been doing it correctly. Right.
Wow, that's huge, guys. That is so huge. So, again, you are tuned in to Sassy Biz Radio. We're talking about spanking the bank, alternative ways to fund your business. Special guest, Carlene Sinclair Robinson. You want to tell them where they can find you, where they can get access to your book?
Sure. The book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and via SpankTheBankNow.com. SpankTheBankNow.com. You can contact me through that website also.
And that was SpankTheBankNow.com?
Correct. Gotta take action.
Well, Carlene, I thank you for spending the last half hour with me here on this special episode of Sassy Biz Radio. Again, if you want to get in contact or get a copy for yourself, you can go to SpankTheBankNow.com. This is DaKeisha Williams of Visions Consulting telling you that you have everything you need to be successful right now. Benjamin Franklin said it's the best. If you fail to plan, then you plan to fail.
You are tuned into Lunch and Learn, brought to you by Sassy Biz Radio.
Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time.